It was an invasion that was not resisted. The Czech defensive position had been made impossible by the ceding of the Sudetenland to Germany. Hitler argued that German troops were required in the what was left of Czechoslovakia because the Czech government in Prague was no longer able to maintain the security of the population against ethnic violence. There was a lot of conflict between Slovaks, the Czechs, the German minority, and so on. And Hitler argued that it was therefore necessary for German troops to go in to maintain order in Czechoslovakia. The move was naked aggression. This was a move that could not be justified by appeal to the principle of national self-determination of peoples, as the Anschluss with Austria could, or the Sudetenland could. There was no question that this was simply a German invasion of another country. In the aftermath of that invasion, everyone understood that the next likely point of crisis in Europe would be Poland, especially a conflict over the so-called Polish corridor, which had been carved out of German territory at the end of the First World War to give Poland access to the sea, and over the status of Danzig, the German port on the Baltic, which now was being administered by the League of Nations for Poland. Britain and France issued a formal guarantee of Polish security in an attempt to make it quite clear to Berlin that while appeasement had meant that the West would accept justifiable desires for a change of the Versailles arrangements, that this kind of naked aggression, such as had occurred in Czechoslovakia, would not be tolerated. Britain and France lodged formal protests with Berlin, with the League of Nations, and most important, of course, Chamberlain had issued this guarantee to Poland against future German aggression. But the key to the diplomatic situation in Europe in 1939 was not in London, and it was not in Paris. The key to the diplomatic situation in Europe in the summer of that year was in Moscow. Britain and France certainly recognized this. With Poland the next likely target of German expansionism, France and Britain had begun negotiations with the Soviet Union over a possible pact, some sort of defense arrangement to guarantee their security. But neither Paris nor London was in a particular hurry to get these negotiations underway. In fact, they began at a very low level. Trade negotiations were begun. A delegation was sent off from London to Moscow to deal with the Soviets. They went by ship rather than flying. There was a sort of sense of almost casual approach, in part because it seemed quite evident that neither London nor Paris believed that any kind of agreement between Germany and the Soviet Union was possible. These, after all, were two great ideological enemies. German propaganda, German ideological pronouncements from the very beginning of the National Socialist movement had been aimed at the Soviet Union, at this home of Judeo-Bolshevism, and by the same token, in the Soviet Union, the attack on fascism, building a popular front against fascism in the 1930s, had been the centerpiece of Moscow's international posture. So it seemed highly unlikely that the Bolsheviks and the Nazis could get together, as Chamberlain said, the Bolsheviks and the Nazis, and that's absolutely impossible. However, Stalin and Hitler viewed the situation quite differently. Both were quite interested in some form of agreement. Already, the Germans had opened talks with the Soviets over trade in the late spring, and both sides had indicated a willingness to discuss matters beyond trade, to discuss some strategic issues as well. Those talks had been carried on not at a low level. They had moved very quickly beyond very tentative feelers between the two states to high-level diplomatic discussions.